All right, we're back. My name is Steve Elzinga. I hope you're enjoying this class. How do we go sort of the next level, or perhaps at least the next level of complexity in coaching? Coaching is not just any one thing. I really emphasized the non-directive in that first class. But coaching can be much more than that. I really see it as an art form. When to say something, when to be directive, when to be non-directive, when to ask a question, when to tell a story. So we've been trying to be directive in a sort of non-directive way. I'm calling that semi-directive. One way is by asking questions. Another way is, we talked last time about case studies. In this session, making the directive more non-directive by asking for stories from the client. So in some ways, the case study last time was a case that I would present to the client as the coach. But now, as a coach, I'm going to ask the client for stories, their own stories. Can you do that? Yeah, you actually can. In fact, it goes really, really well. In the Bible, 1 Kings 19, 9 and 10, this is the story of Elijah. Elijah, you know, has this epic encounter with Baal and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and God comes through in a dramatic way, and the forces of evil are embarrassed. But then the king wants to kill Elijah, and so Elijah is on a high, literally on a high mountain, and now he's in the valley and he runs for his life. And interestingly enough, Elijah runs back to where it all started. He runs to the mountain of God. And it was at the mountain of God that God told Moses, you know, this is who I am. This is what we're going to try to do. This is what it's all about. And so God brings Elijah. Elijah doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what's going on. He thinks God's plan of action, the kingdom, everything, it's all, you know, going down the drain. And so God brings him back. In his depressed state, he brings him back to where it started, the very beginning. A lot of times, you know, when we're down and discouraged, we need to go back to where we first discovered faith. Maybe it was reading the Bible. Maybe it was prayer. Maybe it was, you know, a person that helped us see the truth. And maybe we need to go back to those things when life gets, starts pulling us down. So 1 Kings 19. So Elijah is finally back to the mountain. He's all discouraged. The word of the Lord came to him. And this is what God says. You know, Elijah's at this mountain. And God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Now, let's say your client had a story like that. You know, they have a time when life, you know, they figured out what life was all about. But then they had some things happen in their lives that just took the legs from under them. Now they're down. Now they're discouraged. Now they're depressed. What if you could get them to tell that story? Tell their own story. They're involved in their own story. So how would this work? Okay, let's say, as a coach, you take a class in an area of study that you would like to coach others in. Let's say, for example, parenting, okay? And then within the parenting thing, you're going to try to describe a concept. In other words, you need to teach some things before you can try to figure out a plan of action for your client. I got to teach my client something first about parenting or marriage or whatever it might be. You describe a concept you're trying to teach. You know, so let's say it's parenting and I'm going to teach the I am somebody attitude. I describe what that is. I talk about the verses and Psalm 139. I give him enough that he understands what the concept is. And then I ask the client to think of an incident from their life that relates to that concept. It might be positive, a positive experience, or it might even be a negative experience. Sometimes the negative experiences actually are more powerful than the positive ones. So, for example, we've done the I am somebody attitude. Let's go with the next one. Say you're doing a parenting thing and you're talking about giving kids the I will try. The I will try. I will try attitude. You know, when there's a new situation, I don't know what the situation is, but I'm willing to try. It's a new sport. I've never done it before, but I'm willing to try. A lot of times the I will try attitude is the I am willing to possibly fail attitude and do it anyway in front of people. That's what the I will try attitude is about. The reason we don't try is because we are afraid of failing and we're afraid of looking foolish when we fail in front of other people. We're worried about what other people think of us. So ask your client, can you think of a time your parents did something or said something that helped you get the I will try attitude? When I was 15, my parents moved us to a farm. We grew up in the city, and all of a sudden, you know, one day I'm in the city, next day I'm on a farm. And my father, we had cows. We had a barn. We had to milk the cows. You know, one day I'm in the city, next day I'm milking cows. What do I know about milking cows? Nothing. So my father showed us what we're doing. My brother was 14, I was 15. He showed us how to do it. And the next day he went to work. And my brother and I had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do the cows. Because we were taught the day before. And this is, you know, if we do it wrong, if we don't do it, it's thousands and thousands of dollars. It's a livelihood down the drain. A lot of responsibility. You know, the first time I drove a car, a stick shift. My dad bought this used car. It had a stick shift. We bought it from somebody, and then he threw me the keys and said, "Here you go." I'd never driven a stick shift before. He didn't say, "I will teach you, I'll show you." He just threw me the keys and off he went. The I will try attitude. My father was good at getting us to try things, letting us try and perhaps fail. So asking a client, can you think of a story when that happened? Now, maybe they can't. Okay? Or can you think of a time your parents did something or said something that discouraged you from getting the I will try attitude? You know, parents are pretty good at that. You know, how do parents discourage kids from the I will try attitude? Every time they try and fail, they come down hard on them. They point it out. You know, my dad was pretty good at that too. I remember playing softball, you know, it's kind of like baseball. And I was the shortstop, and somebody hit me the ball, and I caught the ball, and I threw it to first base, but I threw it right over the first baseman's head. Right over his head. After the game, my father came up to me, and he said, "You know, you overthrew that one." "Really, Dad? Did you notice that? You don't think that I got that concept, that I overthrew the thing, that I made a mistake? I needed you to point it out? I mean, I knew that. I feel way, you know, letting down my team, I feel way worse than you could possibly make me feel. So I'm sure, you know, people can think of many times when their parents gave them the "you shouldn't try anything" attitude. Because if you fail, it's not going to go well. And they taught you to fear failure, which means you're not going to try. Now, I think people would have no trouble thinking of stories that relate to the concepts of their life. Well, how do you use the client's personal stories to coach a client in the concepts at hand, that, you know, things that you're trying to teach, things that you're trying to go forward on? Well, first you listen to the story. First you ask a question to get them to tell the story, right? And it can be negative, you know. So I know some of you are thinking, well, how do I do it? You just ask. You have a concept, and you can go positive or negative. Positive or negative? Can you think of a story that positively illustrates this concept that we're talking about? Can you think of a story in your life that negatively illustrates the concept that we're talking about? That's it. One way or the other way, or both ways. It's easy. You can do this. Try. You know, at first you might be a little confused, but eventually you'll catch on. So you get them to tell the story. You listen. That person listens to them, asks the client what struck them about their own story. Now, you told me the story. What strikes you? Because as a coach, I could guess, or I could tell him what struck me, but that's not the point. The point is not what struck me, the coach, about your story. Well, let me tell you what I got out of your story. No. What do you get out of your own story? How do you feel about that story? How do you feel about it today? Well, how does that story make you feel? These are really good. You should write them down. How does this story that you just told me make you feel? Well, you know, makes me feel angry. Makes me feel discouraged. Makes me wonder what I do as a parent. Do I do the same thing? Because I'm angry. Am I making my own children angry? Do you see how powerful this is? See how powerful it is when you get a client to start thinking about their own life as part of the process of trying to talk about a concept. You're already coaching them as you're talking about this concept. The motivation, the desire, the drive to do something about is mounting, is building, is growing. Because you're tapping into the raw emotion of this whole thing. And that's what it's going to take to change anything. People don't change because they're not emotionally involved. It's when you're finally sick and tired of being sick and tired that you want to make a change. When you finally see the hurt, the pain, and what was done to you, and you don't want to do that to someone else. Get the client to figure out what's going on in their own story. Number three, ask the client what their story is teaching them about the concept of hand. So what is this teaching you? It's teaching me to be more encouraging. It's teaching me to be less concerned about success and failure and more concerned about whether my kid gave it a try. If you want your kids to have the "I will try" attitude, then you can't come down on them every time they fail, because that's not the point. The point is they succeed if they tried, whether they failed or succeeded at the thing or not. That they got up to the plate and they made three really good swings and they missed the ball every time, but they tried. They didn't just stand there with the bag on their shoulder and watch three strikes go by. They at least gave it a shot. There was the potential for something good to happen. Good job. trying is what it's all about, not succeeding. Because if you try enough times, you will succeed. When you learned how to walk, how many times did you fail? Hundreds. But each failure was a path towards your success one day. So it's about trying, not succeeding. So how do you honor trying? How do you encourage trying? Do you see? But it comes from your own story. It comes from the client's own story. The realization of what it is. Because you could just teach this, you know. You know, client, the important thing is that you get your kids to try. It's not really whether they succeed or they don't. It's whether they try. And then the client goes home and the kid tries something and it spills water all over the place. And father or mother gets angry just like they've always gotten angry. And everything they just learned from the coach goes right out the door. Because we don't change our ways just because someone explains something. It has to reach us deep down into the core of who we are. We discussed the concept. What is the concept? We discussed the concept. How did it, you know, how, as a kid, how did you feel? So what do you want to do now? Explore possible goals. So what do you want to do now? How do you want to do things differently? How do you, you know, this is what you've been doing. This is what happened to you as a child. This is what you've been doing as a parent. So now what do you want to do? How do you, what plan of action, what course of action do you want to outline to try to change this thing before it's too late? Number six, make a plan to reach those goals, okay? This is what we want to do. How are we going to do it? What are the steps? What do I need to do this week? What do I need to do next week? What do we need to do the next week? And then how do we manage it? The advantage of using the client's own stories, the client is more intimately connected to their own stories. I've tried to demonstrate that. The emotion is in the client's own experience, not in your experience, not in the experience of others, but in their own experience. That's why the goal, you know, even when you're preaching and you're telling a story, you might be telling a personal story, but the point of the personal story is to get them to think about their own personal story. Because they're going to change and they're going to get emotionally connected because of their story, not your story. The advantage of using the client's own stories, the client could possibly get more motivated because of their own stories. I think I've demonstrated that too. I got to change something. I can't let what happened to me happen to my own kids. Or if there's some positive thing that happened to me, I got to pass this on. This is what my parents did for me, and what am I doing with my children? Motivating. The issues that might get in the way of the client really embracing the concept being taught. Become front and center. The issues that might get in the way of the client really embracing the concept being taught become front and center. In other words, I could just teach a concept. I could teach something, you know, about parenting to this client, and then hopefully they'll do something. But if that were true, the client would probably already be doing those things. There's some problems, there's some walls, there's some issues in the way of why the client isn't doing these things right now. And when the client tells his own stories, these walls, these problems, these situations come to the surface. And now we can look at these things. Otherwise, we go on and on about concepts and making plans. But then the next week, you know, it didn't work. And the next week, it's a problem. And the next week, you know, I didn't even get to it. And then excuses. And soon the client is disillusioned. And, you know, the coach, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. And That's what I hear all the time. You know, couples go to counseling, and then they stop going to counseling. Then many years later, they're breaking up, they're getting a divorce. And you ask, well, did you go to counseling? Yeah, we went to counseling, but it didn't do any good. It was worthless. That guy had no idea what he was talking about. Well, often it's not because the guy didn't know what he was talking about. It's because the people weren't motivated enough, weren't energized enough, didn't touch the core of their being to do things in the first place. They didn't really. There were all these walls in front of them that they weren't even aware of. They're blaming the counselor. But it wasn't the counselor's fault. It was all the stuff that was in the way. It was their own fault. And using a client's own stories often will reveal some of these things. All right, do you see how interesting this all is? And again, it's an art form. And not only is it an art form, but it's a thing that grows with experience. So as I'm talking about these things, I keep thinking of example after example and people after people in my own stories, and I get overwhelmed with, because I've had all this experience. And a lot of times I instinctively know what to do because of things I've done in the past, the failures, the successes that I've had in the past. And so you might be just starting out with all of this, and maybe you're overwhelmed with it. This kind of thing is something you need to go over and over many times. You need to go over these things and then try certain things out, and then come back and watch it again, and then go out and try. And maybe you'll get it right. Maybe you won't get it right. Maybe you'll get it part right. Becoming a really good coach takes a lot of practice. A lot of what I'm talking about, semi-directive coaching. So, right now I'm directing all this stuff. I'm telling you all these things. So, but you need both. You need to go out there. You need to try to help people. You need to go out and make a few mistakes. And then come back to the material again and look at it again and think about it, how you could have done it, constantly evaluating and reevaluating. It's an art, but it's also about practice. So I guess I want to encourage you, don't just listen, don't just think you're going to all of a sudden be this incredible coach. It's going to take some time. But you know what? Often, even if you're not even doing it that well, you're doing better for people than they would have had otherwise. So don't feel like as you're practicing that you're giving someone, that you're just making mistakes on people. Because even if you're getting half of this, you're still going to do better for someone's life than if they hadn't come to you at all. So even failures move the ball forward. So I want to encourage you to get out there and start doing some coaching every interaction that you have with someone. All right. Until next time.